Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Hello, everyone. Nathan and I met recently to answer some listener questions we received, and while this isn't necessarily a plot-based episode of The Storage Papers, it sure felt good to hit the record button again and have a conversation about the show, which is currently between the seasons. That said, our discussion was quite lengthy and we received some very interesting questions. If you're new here, you should know that we are recording this between seasons 4 and 5, and you may get some spoilerish information if you're not caught up with the show. Consider yourself warned. Also, if you're listening to this on the free feed, it will be part 1 of 2. I'll have the second half of our chat posted in a couple weeks. However, if you're one of our curators listening to this on Patreon, you're getting the whole shebang in one single drop, ad-free. So without further ado, here we go. Thank you for joining me, Nathan.
Pleasure as always.
I think it was your idea for us to do this. let's see. I'm trying to remember how this came about. I think you suggested it in our Discord, on our private Discord, just for the creators, which is just you and me now.
Yeah, I think so.
But I like the idea. And we got questions. It's funny because I posted on Discord, I posted on Facebook, I posted on Patreon. Where else? I think I posted to Twitter too, but Twitter's a dumpster fire right now, so I wasn't expecting much. All of our questions came from the Discord, and I was actually recording, like, I documented where the source came from. Everything says Discord. So thanks, Discord peoples, for all your fabulous questions here that we're going to try to answer to the best of
our
ability.
You're the best.
So I suppose we should just jump in. I'm going to read the first question. First one comes from Drugstore Cowboy on Discord. He says, behind the scenes and how to get started on a podcast is what Drugstore Cowboy wants to know about. With interest in the Magnus Archives, the Storage Papers, Willing and Fable for inspiration, good spooky stories, essentially. So I know Nathan here is part of the Audio Drama Lab team. I'm in the server. I don't know what role I've taken on yet, if any. Probably not much, but I don't know. I think this is a good one for you to start with, Nathan. Not putting you on the spot or anything.
Well, I think we can... I'm not sure exactly what might be looking for behind the scenes. We'll probably talk about that a little bit more with some of these other questions. But for how to get started, I mean, I think the first thing is to... just do it. You know, don't let perfection get in the way of progress. Work on your story, develop a story. If you need help, like Jeremy mentioned, with the Audio Drama Lab server, that's hopefully helpful to people to get started and learn how to build a story and everything from idea to actually hitting publish. That's there's a lot to talk about there, so I don't know how deep we want to get into that. But yeah, start with a story, outline your story. That's the easiest way to make sure that you actually finish it. Then start writing it, rewriting. Then, you know,
if that's your style.
Or, yeah. And then either record it yourself or find some friends or some people willing to work within your budget, whether that's $1 million or no dollars, and start recording, editing, mixing, and publishing.
Yeah. I can tell you how I got started on this podcast. And granted, I had some podcasting experience prior to this on like interview-based shows, but nothing like audio drama with sound effects or anything like that. But essentially, just like Nathan said, I had a collection of short stories that I had been writing just for fun. And I think at one point I started listening to the Black Tapes, and I really enjoyed that style of storytelling. And that's kind of what prompted me to create a podcast out of it. And I thought to myself, how much cooler would it be if you had sound effects and things like that? Now, I will warn you, that is not everyone's cup of tea. A lot of people have said they don't like those noises. They feel like that's distracting from the story. But then you have your other polarity that says, yes, we enjoy that. It's immersive. So personal preference, I think, and however you want to do it. But ultimately, yeah, I had a story, I started narrating it, and then I started playing around with adding things in. And I had a recent discussion on Discord with Lily over there about, you know, how in the beginning, I think you'll probably notice if you go back and listen to any of season one, the sound effects they're not balanced very well. Some of them are like way too loud compared to the dialogue. And that's just lack of experience with that thing. I think we're getting better at that. We have some standards that we're adopting. But yeah, a lot of this stuff, like the recording, the editing, making your voice sound better, making your, I don't know, just your effects come in at the right time, like the timing of things and how loud to get, all that stuff is just accomplished by experience and then just trying things out. And I think a lot of people get stuck in that rut of like, oh, I want it to be perfect, you know, right off the bat. It's not going to be. So just start. You'll get there. I mean, I don't think our show's perfect now, but there's a lot of shows out there too that are not perfect, but still quite enjoyable. So get your content out there.
Sorry, one quick thing I wanted to add, since they had mentioned the Magnus Archives as something that they were interested in. I think it was on a stream a bit ago where Alex from the Magnus Archives and Rusty Quill had mentioned how he set himself on fire briefly because he made we'll call it a rookie mistake for lack of better words, by running Phantom Power, which is just some extra power from your audio interface, into a dynamic mic, which is not supposed to get phantom power. So even these podcasts that, you know, they're like huge in the indie audio drama sphere, even they still make mistakes and learn from them. So,
yeah. But what's cool is like you keep learning. Like I'm still learning new stuff. There's, you know, you network with people. The Audio Drama Lab is a cool spot for that because there's people with greater experience and expertise than me. And there's also new people who've never done any of this before out there. So there's it's a spectrum. I think for behind the scenes stuff, I don't know quite what to talk about. You know, on Patreon, we've got a bunch of behind the scenes stuff. But I think going into season 5 here, I will just say we've outlined the entire season. We have a plot. We have some bullet point things that are happening that we still have to write about. We're very early in the writing process, but I've been focused on trying to find a new place to live. My rent's going up another 10% here, and that's putting it in an extremely uncomfortable level unless I get some other form of income. So until I get my living situation figured out, I'm probably going to be writing not as often as I'd like to, but I'm chipping away at it. What else should we say about season 5, Nathan?
That's a good question.
Things are going to... Yeah, things aren't going to be as expected, I'd say. What I love about this is, like, every time I think somebody's going to expect something, nobody expects it. So I think that's a frame of mind adjustment. All right. I guess we've answered that for now. Like Nathan said, we'll have some more behind the scenes content with some specific questions coming up here. Let's move on to Autumn Evergreen's question. What are the characters' favorite foods? That's a tough one. I think for Jeremy, it's probably, I don't know, pizza. That's one of those things you order when you're working long hours into the night on your hobby and you don't have any sort of time to cook for yourself or eat healthily.
And as a bonus, it generally leaves your hands fairly clean. So it's easy to take a bite and then go back into what you're doing, depending on the style of pizza, I guess. Some are greasier than others.
Yeah. I don't know. Every pizza I've eaten, maybe it's a West Coast thing. It's greasy as hell. Let's see. Who else is there? What do you think Mark Anderson's favorite food is?
I feel like it's just that stereotype of, you know, cops sitting around the office working long hours and having Chinese takeout.
I thought you were going to say donuts.
Well,
that's a stereotype.
Also is a stereotype. I'm thinking more like what you see in, like, the, you know, TV shows. The he'll be sitting around just, you know, late night. Same kind of thing with pizza, you know, just working long hours, something you can scarf down quick that's always available for delivery.
Yeah. I think that for Ron, it's probably got to be something similar, and we'll say burritos, Mexican food takeout. You know, he's spent a lot of time in Tijuana. He knows what good Mexican food tastes like. And who knows what he's doing in his spare time? He's kind of mysterious. I picture him sitting in a parking lot that's all dark, just scarfing down Mexican food, contemplating what his next move is. How am I going to screw with Jeremy today is what he's thinking.
Let's see. So Brienne's an easy one. Her favorite food is obviously coffee.
Well, I mean, you can live on coffee, but when she actually eats a meal.
Yeah. Coffee.
What's your wife's favorite meal?
For
anyone who doesn't know, Nathan's wife, Amanda, plays, Brienne on the show.
Yeah. That really depends. It's she goes through kicks where she's like, I need to eat this all the time, and then she's sick of it for forever. Right now she's been working through some shepherd's pie, but she told me I need to make some sesame noodles soon, so probably that's probably her favorite, at least that I make.
Yum. I'm gonna get hungry.
Yeah, right.
What about Malcolm?
Yeah, I was just thinking that's a weird one.
So he's had prison food. We know this. Probably not his favorite.
I'm thinking because
of how crappy prison food probably is. I wouldn't know. I've never been to prison, but I've heard stories. He probably likes something pretty extravagant.
You know, it's funny. He's gonna go the opposite way.
Really?
Yeah, I was almost like thinking cheap. Like for him, maybe, I don't know. I guess I could see it either way. I could see him thinking food is like a distraction almost, and just something bland like just rice or something. Or I could see him
self-deprecating meals.
Yeah, yeah. But then I could also on the flip side see him maybe he does enjoy like fine dining kind of meals,
the better things in life.
Yeah, something that has always been out of his grasp for so much of his life,
maybe like steak and lobster.
Yeah,
or I don't know, some kind of fancy food that you can't even pronounce.
Something French. I don't know.
Right. I see him sitting there with a filet mignon and a glass of Merlot.
I mean, wine's, I feel like wine's a given for him.
Yeah. Yeah, he seems like a wine guy.
Yeah.
Nothing against wine people. It's not my thing. but he's got that vibe.
It definitely does.
Who else? Who are we missing? That's kind of our main people.
Yeah, I don't think any of the others we probably met enough to really have a good idea.
Yeah.
I think that's everyone who's actually been voiced, right?
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, maybe that's a question we can come back to in later seasons after you all hear new voices.
Oh.
We'll see.
Joseph Foy.
Joseph Foy, we've voiced him. I see him as a biscuits and gravy type of guy. Any meal, biscuits and gravy. He's like the elderly guy that goes to Golden Corral and just, I mean, he'll eat anything there, but he likes biscuits and gravy.
Food, not exactly a connoisseur, just something hearty.
Exactly. He appreciates something that someone else cooks.
Yeah.
Now I can't believe I forgot we voiced him. I remember. Now I'm thinking, like, who else did we voice that I can't remember now? We almost did Patel, but we didn't voice Dr. Patel. I don't think we know her enough to know her favorite food. She's clandestine in nature.
Yeah, I don't think she would let anyone else catch her eating.
Yeah. All right, I think we're good for the food one. Let's move on. Our next question comes from Icarus. What are the characters' things they do that annoys the crap out of everyone else? All right, I'm going to talk about Ron, because I feel like I wrote him to be kind of annoying. He annoys me anyways. So Ron gives vague answers that don't really provide any information. So if you were to approach Ron and say, what are you doing this weekend? He'd say something like, I'm going to traverse the abyss.
And then he'd disappear for weeks at a time.
And he'd come back with a hangover. plus he's kind of a dick too, right? I mean, he doesn't tell anybody anything. He expects everyone to be supportive. I think he just withholds information. Everyone's annoyed with him by this point. Let's see. What does Jeremy do that annoys everybody?
What doesn't he do that annoys everybody? <I know. laughs> Provokes demons, constantly asks for permission to record after already recording.
And wonders why he's having trouble sleeping. Why is it happening to me?
Yeah, I think those two things are just probably top of the list, probably.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's gotten, I feel like a lot probably gets on Anderson's nerves, but I feel like he's gotten on Anderson's nerves a lot for just doing, from Anderson's perspective, at least, an amateur job in investigating things, at least compared to Ron, what he was used to probably.
Yeah. He misses his partner.
Yeah.
As far as Anderson's annoying things, I honestly can't see him doing much that's annoying. He's just very calculated.
Yeah. And I think that's,
I wouldn't call him cold, even just calculated.
I think that's why he doesn't annoy people, is because he understands people, or he can read people well enough that his responses are always measured in a way that they aren't going to annoy people.
Right. And he doesn't fuck around either. Like, he asks you a question when it's necessary. He speaks when necessary. And when you ask him to do something, he does it. He's just a no-nonsense kind of guy.
Yep.
Now, if any of our characters were fun, they might find that annoying, but I don't think that's the case. Maybe Malcolm. Malcolm's
Yeah, I was going to say Malcolm probably time. Gets on his nerves. What doesn't Let's get see. On Malcolm's nerves, though? All right, okay. Well, that wasn't the question, though. What did the characters do?
Yeah. Malcolm, I think Malcolm's kind of, he's full of himself a little bit. He's never satisfied in the moment. He's always wanting something more. He's kind of whiny sometimes.
But in a very not self-aware way. He doesn't register that anything he is complaining about is something that everybody wouldn't complain about. He's just self-absorbed.
I think everyone knows Brienne just doesn't take care of herself like she should.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's concerned about her well-being, and she's just, like, chain-smoking and, also just drinking coffee and doesn't sleep much. And it's a typical nurse, right? Just always concerned about everybody else and has a great heart, but never takes care of herself, and people don't like seeing that.
I guess that's probably as good as an answer as you're going to get. I don't feel like she truly annoys other people.
Yeah, good enough. I like it. Maybe we can throw some annoying things in next season. Maybe she picks her nose. I don't know.
Episode 2. Is that a booger?
You thought it was a booger, but it's not. All right. Next question, also from Icarus. What are the characters' favorite animals? I have no idea how to answer this. I'm going to say aardvark for Ron.
What?
Aardvark.
I feel like Ron would be some kind of dog.
Really?
Something that can alert him if there's an intruder while he's sleeping.
Okay. I still say aardvark. he's a weird dude, you know? Maybe, let's see, Jeremy's would probably be more of a dog. Like an old dog, like a rescue or something. That's got, like, all sorts of medical problems. But he feels like he gets him.
I think Brienne strikes me as a cat person because they're very low maintenance. So while she is working long hours and stuff, you know, don't have to worry too much about it.
Yeah. I also think she probably pulls a lot of overtime.
Yeah.
And doesn't keep her house in, like, tidy order. There's probably cat piss everywhere. Malcolm.
That's well, a we know one. He had a cat.
He also had a dog.
Wait, was it a dog?
It was a dog. You wrote the episode.
No, that was... That wasn't
oh, was
me.
It Cody?
Yeah, that was Cody that wrote that one.
All right. It was a dog, though.
It's Bagel, right?
Yeah.
See, I remember but that at least.
Yeah, you got it. I would see him as more of a, like, again, an eccentric pet. Like, he's probably one of those people that owns, like, something, like, exotic.
Like an ocelot.
Yeah. Or, like, he's got emus in his backyard. Or, peacocks and ferrets running around or something. I don't know.
I think ferrets would, like, smell too much for him.
Maybe.
He seems like a guy who'd be sensitive to that kind of thing.
Right. What are those? He probably has one of those... like a big cat of some kind, not a bobcat, but there's, you ever see those on TikTok and Instagram stories? There's these, like, really cool looking, like, it's larger than a house cat, smaller than a leopard. They've got some pretty cool, like pointy ears.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know what they're called.
That's going to bug me. I do know somewhere in my brain.
Yeah. But they have like a spotted coat and really cool looking animal. But he probably trains it well, and it would attack you if you did anything to him if it was around.
This is really going to bother me.
Yeah, we'll come back to it. You'll think of it as soon as we stop talking about it. Anderson probably has a parrot that repeats everything he says. And he probably gets annoyed at the things he says, hearing it back, spouted back to him from his parrot. You're still in thought about what that's called, aren't you?
I'm still stuck.
You're trying too hard.
I feel like it starts with an S. I might just have to be satisfied with that for now.
Yeah.
Who
let,
else?
Let it go, man. Let it go. I'm
trying.
Oh, Joseph. Joseph's probably got a little French bulldog.
Think so.
A tiny one. The runt of the litter.
Either that, or I could see him having one of those, what are those little monkeys, the organ grinder monkeys?
Organ grinder?
Yeah, the little monkeys that, like, jump on your shoulder and, you know, play the...
Oh, like the one in Outbreak? Is that what you're talking
Maybe.
About?
Maybe.
Little tiny, just say tiny monkey.
Yeah, tiny monkey.
All right, Joseph's got a tiny monkey. It wears a diaper and everything.
Yep.
All right, I'm going to move on.
Okay.
Detective C on Discord says, what was your favorite part to record? That's a tough one. I feel like recording Jeremy's character is kind of mundane almost. It's not that I don't like doing it, but he's kind of dry, you know? He just reads the statements.
I will say, so I don't know if this will be your answer, but I will say that, you know, there was at least a hint of emotion starting to seep through at the end of the season 4 finale.
That was fun because I did several takes of that. I tried to like make myself actually cry, and I did a little bit, and I'm not used to doing that. Like, I never cry. You know, I lost my dad a couple years back. Didn't cry. You know, so like actually acting and like, you know, trying to put emotion into something, it was difficult, but I feel like I pulled it off. It was almost therapeutic. I actually felt really cool after it. I should figure out how to do that more. So for
Season
at least
five,
for that character,
Jeremy crying all the time now.
I'm reading this statement. Oh my god.
I think my favorite part was probably Malcolm's first appearance. Because I'd been like trying to workshop that character, his voice and everything. So it was nice to have that payoff of actually having that, you know, portrayed.
Yeah. I love watching your videos of you reading his character because you get this like little, your head tilts like you're going to bite a taco or something. And and then you have this like voice that comes out of you. It's pretty cool. You really get into the character.
Like going in like he's wanting to whisper this into the person's ear like, hello, Jeremy.
I love it. Yeah, I think that's a good one. I figured you had fun recording Malcolm more so than Anderson.
Yeah,
Anderson's
stern. Yeah, Anderson's kind of boring. I almost regret doing his voice the way I did it, just because it is kind of boring. But it just made
sense. Kill him off. We'll just kill him off, and then we'll have somebody else come in and replace him, and you can have fun.
Here's Detective Anderson's replacement. Hi, guys.
Anderson is gonna die.
season all right, five so, spoilers.
But I think for me, the most fun is in all the effects after, like, you know, the post-production stuff where you're adding all the sound effects and trying to figure out which effect is the right effect. It's tedious, but it's a lot of fun outside of the recording. Yeah, I'm going to move on to the next one here. Gem, that's G-E-M on Discord. This is a big one. It says, we know that Jeremy was somewhat part of this lore, but more than being the storyteller, and in parentheses, loss of memory, parents, etc., we also saw the paper somewhat destroying his marriage, but now it tarnished the idea of normalcy in any way. Did you guys have a hyperfixation that nearly ruined your life? There's multiple questions here, so I'm going to pause there. A hyperfixation that nearly ruined my life? I don't think I have. I've got some things like some, I don't know, maybe hobbies that maybe my wife wished I did less of. But I don't think it's nearly at that level. I will, you know what? I should bring this up because I've done paranormal investigations. I think the one thing that kind of freaked my wife out about that was she's like constantly concerned that I'm going to bring stuff home. And, you know, within, I think, a couple days of one of those, she ended up getting like scratched in the middle of the night. Now, was it my toenails scratching her? Was it her own stuff scratching her? Who knows? But that was a concern of her. She requested that I not or take precautions to not bring anything home. I don't know what precautions you take other than telling the ghosts, please don't follow me home. But nothing that ruined my idea of normalcy. Sorry, my dog just walked in. Dog, I'm recording. I'm going to keep that in so you can know the dog just wants some attention, wants some scratches.
Yeah. I guess, so thinking about this, like you, I've have had a lot of hobbies that I think has had some sort of annoyance on those around me because of either noise or just so much collected junk.
Yeah.
I'll say that this is kind of a weird one to say probably, but I'll clarify it in a second. A hyperfixation that nearly ruined my life would probably, for me, be religion. And that's taking it way more serious. But because of how I grew up, there was a lot of very, very heavily focused on religion. And for me, it got to a point where it was a hyperfixation and there was a lot of parts of my life that I should have tended to, like my mental health, that I did not. For some people, religion's great, and I'm not going to knock anyone's religion or their, you know, whatever beliefs they have. For me, it was not, and that was a problem for me. So that would be my answer.
Can you hear me still?
Yeah, I can. I thought I lost you again.
Anyways. Sorry, it sounds like you answered that, and I'll have to wait to the playback in order to hear the answer. All right, so that was the hyperfixation part. Then Jim asks, how did it feel to break that thin barrier you created between family of Jeremy and the papers? I'm trying to understand the question, I guess.
Well, I think that was always kind of the long-term goal.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I was very intentional about drawing some parallels, but then also very intentional about having some things that were very different. So I don't know. Yeah, it was intentional, I guess, for the most part. Does that answer the question?
Or am I being too okay. Vain? So wait, I think we might be understanding it differently. So are you talking about your like real life family or? Are you talking about the character Jeremy's family?
Well, that's what I'm saying is there's some parallels between both.
Okay.
Right. You know, some very stark differences, but you know, I identify with a lot of what the character's doing. I might not necessarily choose to make the same decisions, and I've changed some elements of the family around. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah. So I was just talking about the character of Jeremy's family, that thin barrier between his family and the papers.
Gotcha. Where the family's starting to be affected by everything.
Yeah. And I guess that was the second part of that question, dude, to have not only Jeremy, but other members of his family put in danger.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of what it's been leading up to. There's always that thought, whether or not it's been stated, it's been kind of in the back of the character's mind. And, you know, he cares about his family a lot and doesn't necessarily want to have them negatively influenced. But now he's kind of fucked, right? I mean, it's happened. Yeah. Yeah. I cuss a lot, don't I?
I don't Probably think not.
Okay. I think I've said, I've dropped 2 F-bombs, I think, maybe. I don't know.
That was the first one I noticed.
Side note, my kids got asked, who cusses most, your mom or your dad? They both said me. But my wife and I think it's my wife. We both agree it's my wife. How does that happen?
I don't think there would be any sort of contention in my household. I think we all know Amanda swears a lot more than me.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
You know, there's criticism for people who swear, saying, you know, oh, you're just not intelligent enough to find the right words. But I think swearing is actually a form of therapy, stress relief.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, there have been studies on that.
Yeah. If you're pissed off, just letting a good F-drum bop drop is, I don't know, I feel better. I don't know. And I'm not considering myself a rocket scientist, but I'm not uneducated. You know, I don't have to use those words. I choose to.
I think it's how many other words do we have that are our go-to words? And even people who say that tend to have their own go-to words in place of where people would normally swear. So I don't buy it. Yeah. I don't buy that argument.
I don't either. God damn it.
Okay, everyone, that was the first half of our Q&A session. Like I said at the beginning, this entire thing went live on Patreon about a week ago in its entirety. So if you don't want to wait for the second half of our chat and want to listen without ads, head over to patreon.com/grinnermedia to check out our tiers with rewards there. Otherwise, I'll be back in 2 weeks to post the rest of our discussion. Thanks for listening and hanging in there between seasons.